and McClellan's report indicates the degree to which he was fooled by John Bankhead Magruder. McClellan wrote, "So threatening were the movements of the enemy on both banks of the Chickahominy," this is in his official report, "that it was impossible to decide until the afternoon where the real attack would be made." And then McClellan added, "The threatening demonstrations were frequently made along the entire line south of the Chickahominy, and that obliged me to hold a considerable force in position to meet them." Part of this is self-serving explanation on McClellan's part, but in fact he did hold two-thirds of his army south of the Chickahominy. He did believe that what Magruder was doing threatened the Army of the Potomac. So it's excellent work. While Magruder is doing that, Lee and the bulk of the army are fighting the battles of Mechanicsville and Gaines' Mill, where Stonewall Jackson is not doing what he's supposed to be doing. There's a nice contrast between Magruder and Jackson in this regard. Daniel Harvey Hill wrote of Magruder in this part of the campaign. He said that he thought Magruder's love of show and drama explained his ability to fool McClellan. This is an oft-quoted post-war statement by Hill, and Hill didn't like Magruder, so he didn't have a reason to be generous to Magruder, but he wrote this. He said, "No one ever lived who could play off the grand seigneur with a more lordly air than could Prince John Magruder. He put on naturally all those grand and imposing devices which deceive the military opponent." And he certainly did that with George B. McClellan. Now, he was fortunate in his opponents with McClellan, both down around Yorktown and during the 7 days on the 26th and 27th of June, because he had an opponent who was willing, almost eager, to be convinced that there were a lot of rebels in his front. There are always a lot of rebels everywhere from George B. McClellan's point of view. He thought there were 200,000 of them outside Richmond during the 7 days, as he kept telling Abraham Lincoln, 200,000 rebels. So if he believed there were 200,000, I guess he could suppose that Lee had 100,000 north of the river and Magruder had 100,000 south of the Chickahominy. At any rate, it's good work by John Bankhead Magruder at this stage of the campaign. But that's the end. He goes downhill very rapidly after that. The rest of the 7 days unfold in a disastrous manner for John Bankhead Magruder and seal his fate in the Eastern Theater. I think a brilliant performance by Magruder during the 7 days, or even a very solid one throughout the campaign, would have prompted Lee to try to retain him in command. Here's a man who had won reputation, who had done very well earlier in the war. If he had really followed through during the rest of the 7 days, as he had in the same manner in which he'd conducted himself on the 26th and 27th, I think he might have remained in Virginia. But he did not do that. He failed to meet Lee's expectations at both the Battle of Savage Station on June 29th and at Malvern Hill on July 1st. In the first instance, Lee believed that Magruder lacked aggressiveness. That's a cardinal sin from Lee's point of view. He lacked aggressiveness. McClellan was beginning his retreat. He'd pulled Fitz John Porter south of the Chickahominy River by then and begun the movement of his entire army southward across the peninsula to change his base from the York River to the James River. The Army of the Potomac is in motion. It's retreating. Lee believes it's therefore vulnerable, and what he tries to do at Savage's Station is deliver a heavy blow against the rear guard of the Army of the Potomac, and he assigns to Magruder a key element of that. He wants Magruder to strike the Federals. He wants him with about 15,000 men to strike the Federals. He even reinforces Magruder with troops from other Confederate commanders in the hope that he'll have enough mass to really inflict a serious wound on McClellan's retreating army, and it doesn't happen. Magruder gets going very late in the day. He mounts a very feeble assault, and Lee is deeply disappointed. In fact, Lee sent him a note after the battle, and it's a very strongly worded note for Lee. He said, "I regret much that you have made so little progress today in the pursuit of the enemy. In order to reap the fruits of our victory, the pursuit should be most vigorous. I must urge you then again to press on his rear rapidly and steadily. We must lose no more time or he will escape us entirely." Lee is very unhappy with Magruder, and I'm sure Magruder got the message. He's given a very secondary role the next day on the 30th of June. Basically, what his division does is march back and forth. They march about 20 miles and don't do any fighting they're sent to reinforce one end of the line and they don't fight. Then they're brought all the way back to the other end of the line and they don't fight. It's clear that Lee has decided that Magruder is not the guy to have at the point of whatever effort he's going to make. But he did participate, Magruder did, at Malvern Hill on the 1st of July, the last of the 7 days. Now here, Lee planned one more round of assaults. They're ill-considered, as we've seen before in this class. McClellan had a very strong position at Malvern Hill. No weakness, ample artillery, ample infantry, in a beautiful defensive position. But Lee decided to attack. Magruder and his forces were going to be a key part of that.